This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover lots of things going on in the Umpqua Valley. We want to take a look at the county and what has been happening. The County Emergency Manager Emily Ring and County Public Works Director Scott Adams. Guys, thanks for taking a break, if you can call a radio interview a break, and coming in this afternoon. Scott, I want to start out with you. This storm was worse than it was really forecast. What was your take of what it was like early Sunday morning?
Yeah, so early Sunday morning, we started getting some rain downpour coming in. And, you know, really it was quite a bit heavier than what we expected and what was forecasted. Started getting calls in pretty quickly on different areas that were getting underwater, slides occurring, different areas of roads that were becoming impassable. And we started getting our crews mobilized and out trying to assess those areas pretty quickly.
I imagine when you get the first call, I mean, you've done this a while, you know that there's going to be a second call. Because if that happened, something else is probably going to happen. So it's got to be hard to kind of prioritize everything because when you're essentially dealing with a moving target.
Yeah, so we're taking every calls at a time. And as you, the calls came in, a lot of them, over throughout the day. It was pretty solid. We just kept hitting them and assessing them. We do have on-call contracts with a lot of contractors to help assist us in times of need so we can keep our guys focused on the road closures and signage. But it does take a little time for us to get out to some of the sites, sometimes not fast enough, but we do get out there, or we were able to get out there and try to get most sites assessed and signage out, high water, slides, one-lane roads, and then try to get that information back to dispatch and the sheriff's department.
So, Emily, what was Sunday morning like for you?
I was up around 5, I think, and then I was heading out to work by about 5:30. I could tell by 5:30 in the morning on Sunday that we were in a bad way, and my basement was flooding at the time. But you know, my husband's used to the work that I do, so I just said, don't know when I'll see you, but you're in charge. Just don't, you know, try to save the house. Bye. So that, which he's fine with. I will say, you know, the forecast was not totally inaccurate, in which they said, hey, you're going to have flood warnings and watches. You're going to get about 3 inches in central Douglas in less than 24 hours. We got about that plus some. I think what really hurt, like was wildly hard to understand, was the amount of snow melt input, which I haven't seen any numbers on that, and then the debris coming off the mountains, and just so, yeah, just a lot of combination of factors that kicked off something much broader than we anticipated. And
yeah, and while we had the 3 or 3.5 inches of rain here locally, we were seeing up to 7 to 8 inches of rain in the foothills and the mountains,
yeah,
which added to a lot of the material coming down the hills and through the creeks and stuff.
Well, and Emily, you know, you talk about, oh, my basement is flooding and I have to leave. And I'm guessing that was not the only time that happened to staff from the county or the contractors. That's just kind of the way this goes. Do you ever feel a little conflicted about that?
No, because that's why I took this job. But it's just, you know, you just know that that's part of the job. And like I said, my family's trained at this point. So there's my day-to-day mode, if you know me, and then there's my emergency incident or disaster mode. So once I flip to disaster mode, nothing else matters, but like other people, my stuff stays behind, and other people are the priority because life safety is our priority and our communities are our priority. That's what we're here for.
Scott, was there there were so many slides, so many roads issues. Is there one that particularly stands out as having maybe the biggest or one of the biggest impacts?
Not necessarily one. We have almost every road has a slide on it or a pop out or something in general that's occurred to it.
Wait a minute. Almost every road.
Almost every road.
Wow.
So like we're looking at six to seven major slides that are more than 1,000 yards of material on the roadways right now. We have about 20 slides that are greater than 500 yards, between that 500 to 1,000, and then we're up to probably 100 slides that are around 100 yards of material throughout the county. And we're still having them come in. Last night I had three or four, one big one and three or four small ones that, that I was looking at around 7-8 o'clock last night that just got called in, and we just, I was just making it out to. So as the river draws down and whatnot, it's pulling the road with it in certain areas, or creeks are drawn down, it's pulling the infrastructure with it. We still have a lot of water coming out of the hillsides. There's still, the land has trapped a lot of water, so we're at 100% saturation pretty much. Hasn't really dried out yet. We're forecasted to get some more rain this weekend, so we're trying to get out in front of everything and get kind of geared up, to be ready for a next small wave.
Well, and even this afternoon, maybe not a lot of rain, but 30 mile an hour wind gusts possible this afternoon, with which means all this infrastructure, all these hillsides that are kind of weakened, sometimes it's that second wave that really pushes something down.
Yes, and that's what we're paying attention to right now. Fortunately, we have about, I would say, upwards to 20 private local contractors out right now on the roadways working. They're geared up. They're ready to go. I have a couple of more on standby. I have probably three or four that are getting ready to go for tomorrow to start working in areas for us. And then we have our own road crew as well. It's been putting in long hours, and those guys have been on since Sunday early. Not a whole lot of sleep for them. The crews, the engineering staff, everybody's just been really great for the county and working diligently to make sure that we keep roads safe and get the information out to everybody, which we do have a lot of information available. We have an interactive map on the website right now that shows the project areas, road closures, and areas at single lane. It's right, if you go right to the top of the Douglas County website, it's emergency, it's March 2025 flood. You can click on that. There's an interactive map. You can look at your area. You can see the status. We try to update that twice a day.
And that's for county system specifically, right?
Yes.
For ODOT systems, they should go to Trip Check.
Correct.
Or 511. And then for city specific, of course, go to your city jurisdiction.
Correct.
How important are these contractors, especially given that your public works staff is nowhere near as big as it used to be, you know, going back a number of years?
They're extremely important. You know, we're at a fifth or a sixth the size that we used to be in the early 2000s or late 90s, as far as our public works staff. So, you know, when we had Snowmageddon years ago, we had on-call contractors ready to go for that. Although that was huge, we learned a lot from that. And every year we keep emergency on-call contracts available, ready to turn key when we get an emergency declaration. We can utilize those contractors and get them moving pretty quickly. A lot of them are calling us. They're saying, hey, we see stuff going. And we're getting ready to call them about the same time, and so we're already moving, and they're very familiar with our process. They know all of our, you know, supervisors, our managers, our road networks, and so we're turnkey with the on-call situation when it comes to an emergency.
And even with the help of the contractors, though, I mean, this county geographically is bigger than a lot of states. I mean, so you may be in town dealing with things and find out something is going on halfway to Reedsport that needs some attention, and it takes an hour to get there. You've got to add that into the mix too.
We do. We have to add that in the mix, as well as sometimes those roads may be inundated and we're waiting for that work to get done so the road will be open. Like say if 138 or 38 West going to Reedsport is inundated and ODOT's working on that, we're waiting for those to get open. But we also have crews over on Reedsport and Salmon Harbor that we brought back this direction, and we're working in the Tyee area and Elkton, and supporting our guys over here, as well as contractors over from that area. We're starting to bring this direction as well.
fortunately here, we're fortunate that our public works director here, he's not easily intimidated, and he understands incident command and is very logical. But at one point, you had, what, hundreds of tasks to sort through, and some of those that stabilized, destabilized, you have to go back and remitigate. So when we say we're not right, we're still in response and not recovery, it's because things have not completely calmed down, even though the water's gone down.
Well, and honestly, you both are literally getting text messages while we're sitting here doing this.
Yes.
As things are continuing to evolve. We're going to take a break. Come back with more in just a moment on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. It is 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1. We're live from Salem tomorrow. We'll talk to State Representative Alex Garlatos on Inside Douglas County. We're looking at the county response to the mess on Sunday. We'll just use the word mess. It was rain. It was flooding. You name it. Scott Adams, Public Works Director. Emily Ring, County Emergency Manager. Emily, what was your biggest focus on Sunday?
I would say probably the biggest focus was making sure that we were meeting all life safety needs. Mostly the first responders were doing a great job of that. But at a certain point, when it became aware that this was countywide and multiple jurisdiction, I just tried to be the bridge between the different responder groups and make sure nothing was getting missed, and help with situational awareness, and then start thinking ahead, what kind of resources would we need to pull in? Those were probably the biggest things right away. Sheltering, of course. Trying to get a sense of, dude, we need to shelter people overnight and where, things like that.
Well, and just by the nature of the way Sundays work, sometimes it's a little harder to find people, but it sounds like you guys knew something. I mean, you were aware of the storm, and you just weren't exactly sure how bad it was going to be, so it sounds like you were able to get resources going real quickly.
Well, we knew to be monitoring. The National Weather Service had put out watches and warnings. It just was way more than was anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, our public works crews and our managers and supervisors are used to this aspect, not on this scale, but they turn up pretty quickly, and they rise to the occasion, and they start getting resources lined out and people moving really quickly. Sunday morning, I was on the phone with our road manager, and he was pretty much all morning, off and on, throughout the day as he's assessing sites, getting information back from our crews, and he's starting to line out crews, contractors, signage, trying to get our immediate response figured out of where we need to get road closures due to flooding so people aren't trying to drive through it, trying to look out for the public safety aspect of that, and then, you know, turn into starting to get the material moved out. Like, we're still in response mode, so we're still doing a lot of that. And with that, I'm going to morph into encourage people as they're driving around to, we have lots of contractors out on the road, lots of signage to be careful, slow down, give the contractors room to do the work. There's a lot of mud in some of the roadways, to be slow and just take it easy as they come through some of the work zones, and through some of the areas. If they see a slide and nothing's on it, it doesn't, please call those in to dispatch. Our locals and the public are a lot of our eyes and ears. They're the ones that have called a lot of this stuff in, and we don't have enough people right now to go out and just review roads. So as the public's out driving around, it's been real helpful that they've called this stuff into us.
I'm real curious about Galesville Dam, and I honestly hadn't really thought about that for quite a while. Talk about what went on down there.
So Galesville Dam is on the upper Cow Creek stem of the South Umpqua River, and Galesville Reservoir, of course. So it's a power generating dam that Douglas County maintains for water sales and ag use, as well as fish habitat water. we saw an upflow of about 12 feet of rise in that dam in less than a day's period. Went from 200 cubic feet per second CFS to 5,500 CFS in less than a day, which led to that 12 feet of rise. But we had the capacity in that reservoir to hold back that much water, which kept us from flooding Glendale and Riddle and others. Now, they still received flooding, but it would have been much worse if that dam wouldn't have been here. We got within a foot of the water going over top of the dam, which doesn't rarely occurs. It's maybe been 20 years since it's happened, and it does damage to the dam when that occurs, so it's not meant to overflow. So as once the water crested, we were able to turn up the water out of the dam and start drawing it back down. But it did keep additional flooding from occurring to the downstream, which is most effectively Glendale and then Riddle and then Myrtle Creek and the downstream communities.
In the 96 floods, we really had a series of several days and then one big particular hit. This was more of a one-day situation from the initial sort of attack of the weather. Where did things stand by Monday?
By Monday, we were still monitoring because we were still in an upflow on Monday. We're still getting a little bit of a rain, still getting moisture coming in, still having flow coming in. And we were really on a bubble to watch where the crest occurred with the flows from all the tributaries below the dam. And the tributary that was feeding the dam, and then once they crested there on I believe it was around Sunday evening is when Glendale peaked, we were able to start ramping up our flows out of the dam and create a little more freeboard, because we're waiting a little bit for this week to see what's happening. So
we were very all very grateful that the rain stopped when it did, which was helpful, of course, but there was still that snow melt feeding in, and that, you know, there's a delay for some of those large tributary systems. I know my time with you is short, and I have a couple of things that I want to let your listeners know, so you tell me when that...
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so I do want to note that obviously many people had a bad day Sunday and are tired and exhausted and dealing with things that they weren't anticipating to deal with in the general public. So I want to make sure that folks know that we have 211 set up for people to call into to get basic information and resources and common post-flood reentry kinds of questions answered. We will be continuing to feed them more information as we get more resources set up. I'm working with the state and with leadership to continue to push for different resources and to help people as they move through it. I also want to let folks know that we are ramping up the damage surveys that we are doing out in communities, especially unincorporated, the hardest hit areas. We're going to be supporting that. So you may see people out in vests and things, and they're not going to come on private property. They'll be on the right of way. The purpose for those surveys is to see if we can meet a threshold for financial assistance for our communities.
What about, you've talked about this before, how do you feel people were prepared for this Sunday, or were a lot of people really caught off guard?
I think it was a mix. I think it was depending who was watching the flood watches and warnings, who was paying attention to the National Weather Service warnings that were getting pushed out, and whether or not people felt like 3 inches of rain within 24 hours was going to be impactful or not. I wish there was a way that we could have, there is no way that I know of to have quantified that unknown amount of additional snow melt in on top of the rain that we got. Maybe going forward that will be a resource to us, but it was worse than anticipated all around, I think.
Yeah, and one of the unknown resources that we have is neighbors helping neighbors. We did see people out helping each other. I've got reports in from my staff. I've witnessed it myself. Is we had a lot of people out helping each other out, and I think that's an awesome thing to see in the community.
Emily, how do people get ready for future events? How do they be more prepared for anything else that might come along?
I am happy to talk more about that. I do preparedness and outreach. it's an important question, but I feel like maybe people mentally and emotionally aren't ready to hear that type of information from me. I think I want to focus more on, you know, we're still in response mode, and then we have a lot of people who are going to need support through recovery. And then in the future, I think it's, we'll have more conversations with the public, just like we do every year for fire season. Hey, it's the beginning of fire season. Here's some preparedness things you can do. There's certainly preparedness, mitigation, and awareness things around floods and winter storms, but I'm not sure folks want to hear that from me right now.
Scott, as we look ahead for Public Works, this is going to be a long haul, right?
Yes. Like Emily said earlier, we're in response right now, so we're still continuing to gear up. Things have slowed down. The calls have slowed down, are coming in, but we still see slides and certain infrastructure needs occurring and happening and getting called in. And we're still responding to those, but we are strategizing recovery. We are we've been looking forward. We have some things that are set up and canned up kind of that'll start occurring as Emily mentioned earlier. And so we'll continually do that. We are looking forward through this weekend and seeing what the weather's gonna bring for us. And we'll be certainly try to be ready for that. Of course, some things are hard to anticipate, but we're going to try to be ready for those items.
All right, Scott Adams and Emily Ring from Douglas County. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.